It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're going to have a wonderful study in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 18 is the chapter we're going to read. We're going to read the whole chapter today. There's 27 verses, and so be prepared for that. I hope that you enjoy it. While you're looking this up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. We're going to have a good time studying God's Word as we always do. Exodus chapter 18, beginning to read with the first verse, verse 1. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, of which the name of one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land. And the name of the other was Eliezer, for the God of my father, said he, was mine help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped at the mount of God. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law Jethro, am come unto thee, and thy wife, and her two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and did obeisance, and kissed him, and they asked each other of their welfare. And they came into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come unto them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord, who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dwelt proudly he was above them. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrificed for God. And Aaron came, and all the elders of Israel did to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou didst unto the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them known the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken not unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, sure as such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter that they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God commandeth thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened unto the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel, and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but the small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. Now, let's begin with prayer after we've read God's Word. It's wonderful that we have this opportunity today. Father, please, that you will guide and lead us. You will touch every heart, that we will know your way and will. Please, dear Lord, that there'll be no question that the study today is of you. It is not of man. Now, we find this man Jethro coming on the scene, and we're going to find that we tend to follow man's opinion and man's ways more so than God. And so, dear Father, I ask that we follow your ways, not our ways, that we seek your wisdom, not our wisdom. And so, please, give us this great study today. I thank you for all that are listening, and please, that salvation come into the heart of every person that's listening today. If they do not know you as their Savior, please, today be the day that they will come to know you. Today will be the day that they will be introduced to you, and they'll come by faith and know you as their personal Savior. And that day, that minute, that hour, they will never forget. And if you are truly, Father, if they are truly saved, truly have come by faith, they'll know that time. They'll know that place. Oh, maybe not October the 26th, 27th, 28th. They may not know exactly the day, but they can take you right to that place, right to that very spot. And, dear Father, you know that I was saved halfway between the house and the Pharaoh house, and I know that place. I know that time. I know that year. That's about as close as I can get. But I know the day that I met you, Lord Jesus. Please, today, touch every heart and grow those that are saved today. Grow them closer to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, what a wonderful study we have here in Exodus chapter 18. And we start the chapter, you know, and we've been through this battle with Amalek. We've watched the power of God is they would lift up the arms of Moses, and then as his arms would fail down with weight and burdens, we'd find that the Amalekites would begin to win, and then we find that we have the brother and brother-in-law of Moses holding up the arms of Moses and watch the victory. And oh, it's wonderful to see how it's a difference between the spiritual battle and a fleshly battle. You know, we can arm ourselves with guns and all kinds of things to go to battle, but the best thing we need to do is arm ourselves with the gospel of Jesus Christ, know his word, and go forth proclaiming his word. And there's nothing wrong with the armor. God used that many times. He used the sword many times, and so to have that is fine, but see that we don't rest upon that. We rest upon and trust upon the Word of God and God's power and strength. Now, it's a wonderful day that we have to study this part here concerning Jethro. And when Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, and if you'll look on the map, you know, we're not so far from Midian here when we find Moses coming down and arriving at Mount Sinai. There were many, many things here that was taking place as we traveled from the Red Sea or even back from Egypt, and we watched the hand of God give them food to eat, give them water to drink, give them victory over their enemies. We've watched it time after time, and we've watched the people continue to moan and groan and all those things that we do all the time. Well, we find ourselves to this place where we run into Jethro. Jethro brings Moses' wife and two sons out to meet him. Undoubtedly, they were back home. You know, there was a little bit of rift. There was a little problem between Moses and his wife for what Moses was doing and standing for, and we're not sure exactly what happened. What we do know that Moses sent his wife back home, and so he has his wife and his two sons are back with her dad, with his father-in-law Jethro. Well, they got close to the same area here. Jethro brings Moses' wife and the two sons over to see Moses. And when they arrive, why, if you'll notice, there was no record of any kind of affection towards that Moses showed towards his wife. He did come and give Jethro a hug and give Jethro a kiss. So I think Jethro and Moses have become very, very close. I'm not sure how close Moses and his wife is through this. Maybe Jethro has come spiritually further than what Moses' wife has. We're not sure. But we begin here, and it's quite a story as they come together, and his two sons there, Gershom and Eliezer, are there, and they begin, and Moses is invited into Jethro's tent. They come, or into Moses' tent. We're not sure which one. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses in the wilderness where they encamped at the mouth of the Lord. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law, Jethro, am come unto thee, thy wife and her two sons. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance, which is a show of great respect, and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. And so I guess I felt like that probably where Jethro was camped is where they have met here. I may be mistaken. It may be back in Moses' tent, but doesn't matter. As we look here, we find the great respect that was held here by Moses and Jethro for each one, and they was concerned about each other. You know, we wonder how Jethro looked at this as they begin this voyage, this travel. Did you ever wonder what really went on in Jethro's mind when Moses come and told Jethro that I'm leaving, I'm going to go lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt? And they knew well in advance, they knew the what was going on in Egypt. They knew that Israel was servants in Egypt. They were slaves. There was no way that they could, how was he going to, one man, going to deliver them out? And we wonder whether he believed the God of Moses could do that. Well, we have not only walked by faith to watch it happen, but now we have evidence because all of Israel is right beside, and Moses begins to share all that was done. And I'm sure that was a wonderful time here in the 8th verse. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh, unto Egypt for Israel's sake, and all the travail that they had been through. You know, we had no food and we had no water, and God has just continued to deliver us and meet every need that we have. And look at what Jethro does. Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord hath done to Israel. And so we find that Jethro, even though he was, you know, not of the family of Israel, and yet he is very excited about what the God of Israel, Moses' God, is doing. And so Jethro said, "Blessed be the Lord who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians." You know, he could have said, "Oh, Moses, you are one fine son-in-law. I see what you have done." But you see, Moses didn't give himself, didn't take any of the credit. He turned everything over unto God and to the Lord and gave him the praise and the honor. And so immediately then Jethro also praised and honored Moses as God, the God who delivered you out of Egypt and out of Pharaoh's hand. And now look at verse 11. "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods." Look at what has been accomplished by the obedience of Moses to go do something that he didn't feel like he was capable of doing. Remember back to those days when God called Moses to do it, and Moses says, "I can't do that." Now, how many times have you said the same thing, but you've went ahead and carried out what God, through his prayer and through his study, has had you to do, and you have felt the victory and witnessed the victory, and now people look and see the end result? Well, I guess your God was able to do that. Well, I hope that that is the case in your life. I hope it's not the opposite, that God has called you to do something and you refused to do it. And because you refused to do it, why, there is no testimony. Your faith didn't grow stronger, and those on the outside didn't see what God wanted all to see. So think about that now as we see this testimony here, because I am sure that Jethro questioned what Moses was doing. But now there's no question. There is no question at all. "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods." Because you see, in that land and in that area, they worshiped many gods. But our God is the God, the true God, the living God. "For in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them." See, more powerful, greater wisdom, wonderful. "And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrificed for God. And Aaron came, and all the elders of Israel, to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God." Now, we're going to see here something that's going to take place. Number one, what a day. Is this evident that Jethro is a believer in the God of Israel? Probably so. We have in the past watched kings and people bring offerings unto the Lord that were not saved. So we're not sure, but we do feel like that Jethro here is saved. I think he has come to know the God of Moses, the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham. And so what a wonderful result in the obedience of Moses to now finally win his father-in-law. And so they all come together, the leadership of Israel and Aaron, Moses' brother, and here they come together and they eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from morning unto evening." You know, we've got a busy time here. Moses is not a man of leisure. He's not going to take 2 weeks vacation to go visit his father-in-law. Moses has much work to do. And he is God's man between God himself and the nation of Israel. He is the individual between there. And he not only has the responsibility of sharing all that God would tell him, but he also has the responsibility of keeping the people together and united. And there are always problems. You know, we're born in sin, and we're sinners, and we act like it. And there are so much, there's so much trouble that goes on. And I want this. No, I want this. And so there was a need for the judgment. And again, we have anywhere from 1.5 to 2.5 million people here. And we find that Moses sits to judge the people as they would bring their problems before him. They would come. And Moses' father-in-law asked a question, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people?" Because he could see Moses working from daylight till dark, if not longer. He could see all the people standing in this long line waiting to be heard by Moses and then the judgment handed out. And so he wanted to know, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people?" So there was a question that Moses' father-in-law had. Now, how long has Moses' father-in-law been saved? We're not sure. We're not sure how long that he has been saved, but we do know that as this time is very short. Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, has never had much teaching, and yet he is the priest of his land. He was the leader of his land. So this man's got a lot of worldly wisdom, doesn't he? And he sees Moses working too hard. And he wants to know what's going on. Why sittest thou thyself atone and all the people stand by thee from morning to evening? Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God." Right now we have nothing set up. Moses is the man between. He is the human being. He is the individual that is between the people and God. And there is no mention of any other. There is going to be a time that some of this is going to be lifted from him, but not now. But listen to the advice that the father-in-law has, that Jethro has. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good." Now, he didn't inquire of God to see if that was good. He just looked from the outside as a man of the world, as a businessman, as this leader of his land. He looked out there and saw Moses just working way too hard. And we're going to have to take care of that. This isn't good. Now, this isn't God's opinion. This is man's opinion, and we need to be careful when we get into man's opinions, because we do tend to follow them so much more than we listen to God's plan. God knew how many hours Moses was working. God knew everything, and there's no mention that God is doing this. Now, we'll have some statements made, and we have the same thing today. You know, when there are different methods, there's organizations, there's systems put in place for people to be religious. And we get into the days of the mega churches and all those things, and there's just a great organization. And when I say great, I don't mean that as being good. I mean that as being big. And I don't mean that it's good, because it isn't. It's a big organization. People come, they feel good, but you look to the heart and look to their changed lives, and you'll find that it's surface. It's not of the heart. It's man's organization. This'll work. I know it will. Businessmen have brought in their plans of how they do business, and they work very diligently at doing that business, and they bring it right into the church, because if I can build my business this way, we can build the church the same way. We can build it fast and we can build it big, and it's going to be very, very productive. But for who? That's the question. So I've got a couple things underlined here. Jethro asked the question, the 14th verse, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people?" Number one. Number two, in the 17th verse, Jethro said, "That's not good, Moses. That's not good." And then in verse 19, I have another thing that's underlined here, and that is, it says, "Hearken now unto my voice, I will give thee counsel." Now again, remember, who's talking to who? Moses should have been giving counsel to Jethro, not Jethro to Moses. He does add here, and God shall be with thee. How does he know that? How does he know God is going to be with thee? I hear that constantly. Oh, I know God is in this. I'm sorry. When you go against the word of God, God cannot be in it. It's just evident. I'm not judging. I'm saying you have changed the word of God. When you change the word of God, you cannot expect ever the power of God to be present, the Spirit of God to be guiding you and giving you direction when you are changing his living word. It's not going to be. Now, there's another thing clear down here in verse 22 that I want you to see. Now, we have read this in the opening, and I'm going to back up and we'll reread it in a minute. But there's something else. It shall be easier for you. That's in the 22nd verse. It's going to be easier for you, and they shall bear the burdens with thee. That he's got a plan. He's got a plan because they're looking, and Moses is working too hard. And Jethro sees this. Jethro looks and decides that Moses is going to burn out. Well, when you depend upon man and man's ways and wills, and his will, you do burn out. You do come to an end of your run. But if you do it under God's power, I don't care what he has you to do and what hours he has you to keep, he will sustain you. And he was doing that for Moses. He knew Moses had his platter full. He knew exactly everything Moses was doing. And there is no acknowledgement in God's word that God was going to change that right now at this present time. And we have one last thing, and that is here in verse 24, the problem. Moses hearkened unto his voice. Hearkened unto the voice of Jethro. There is no record that Moses turned unto the Lord and says, Lord, is this a plan that is pleasing to you? Did you bring this plan to me through my father-in-law Jethro? He didn't seem to ask. There is nothing stated there. Now, we're going to back up just a little bit here because I want you to see what's taking place. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. That's the 19th verse. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. Thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws. You see, it was very methodical. And to the man's eyes and to the world's eyes, it's a great idea. It is a super principle to do this. What better plan can be brought together and can work here than this right here? Oh, it's so wonderful. I'm going to put some people together here, and this is going to work. Now, I want you, before we run out of time today, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. You know, today with our society and with all the talk shows that are on the radio and television, I know many Christians that just listen with every word, and I mean every word that person says, they listen to and they respond to it. Well, those people aren't saved. Men and women alike, there are many of them that are not saved. They do not confess to be saved. So why, Christian, are you listening to their words? I want you to think on that. I want you to think about that because you're listening, and it may be super moral advice, but you need to be listening to the Spirit of God. You need to be listening to the preaching of God's Word for your direction and for your strength and for your wisdom. Don't follow after the words of the world. That's exactly what Moses did. It's going to cause him trouble. Please that you listen to the Word of God. And again, very quickly here, because we're just about out of time. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Now, I want you to see that. I want you to understand very clearly that God looks upon the wisdom of the world as foolishness. So should you. Let's go now to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We need to depend upon the Word of God and the power of God for our wisdom, not of the world. We're going to continue here this next time we come together with this, what is taking place. But I just wanted to hit quickly the highlights. What is this thing that thou hast done to the done for the people? That's not doing you good. I will give you counsel. It's going to be easier for you. Moses listened. Be careful. Be very careful when someone gives you wisdom and gives you what you think is wisdom, what gives you knowledge. See that it's of God, and please, not of man. Because man out there, and there's many a churches have went the wrong way. Many a preacher was misled by some individual that had a plan, and it's growing and building the church great. But I'm sorry, dear friend, it's not of God. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?